Okay.
It occurred to me today that maybe the easy get the reflection questions document to everyone is just to post the link in the chat. So you'll find there is the tonight is a little bit different. I don't know why I'm talking. Ron's supposed to be talking. Tonight we're going to, Ron is going to kind of go over a bit of a roadmap for where Discipleship Night is going to go in the future. And, you know, this might be a bit of a, I'm estimating this will take between 3 and 5 years, depending on how things flow. So tonight, kind of a big picture vision casting. Anyways, if you go to the group in Church Center, in resources, you'll find the handout with the reflection questions. There's also the direct link in the event. And in just a minute, I will be posting that link in the chat. So you'll be able to access it a couple different ways. And it's a bit longer this time because it has a lot of the kind of outline of what Ron's number this evening, as well as the reflection questions. So I am going to stop talking now.
Thank you, Morgan. And let's open with prayer if we could. Father, we're grateful for this evening and the time together. And Lord, we do just ask for thy blessing on this evening. And Lord, make our time profitable. And Lord, we are thankful for the scripture. We're thankful for thy Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we're thankful that you are with us. Thanks for being alive and for resurrecting from the dead and even interceding for us. And so bless our time, Lord, and we pray that your name would be glorified. Bless each participant. Give us understanding hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, as Morgan said, we're going to lay out maybe just a little bit of a roadmap and, you know, what we want to pursue in the next several sessions. And a verse that has always been very meaningful to me is Colossians 1, 28 and 29. It says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that you may present every man mature or perfect in Christ Jesus. So really, that's one of the goals of this discipleship program, is to teach for maturity, so we can grow up. Each one of us can grow in our faith. And Edie's going to flip this, and we're going to flip this, and maybe you can put here. I'm going to put it up here. Okay, so this is a whiteboard, and here is a new believer. Let's say Caleb and Juliana, and we've got several new believers. Thank the Lord. So, and as we think about the new believers, and as we think about the verse in Colossians, it's teaching every man always, and we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. And this is a mature believer. Whoops, my T got erased on topics. Let me put that T. Okay, so topics for sanctification are topics for growth. So if I would say, what would be the 12 topics that you would look at to make a young believer, a new believer, into a mature believer. So does anybody have any thoughts? What would be, just give me two. What would be two things you might list there?
Start praying.
Prayer. I mean, prayer would be definitely, you would need prayer in there, wouldn't you?
Give me one more, just kind of random.
Fellowship.
And, you know, and we could list these things and they'd be very important. So that's what we're going to cover today. So, Well, you know, I wasn't sure how we were going to do this. Yeah, I could almost put this, focus in on this. Well, the 12 topics that we have been at come from a book by Ken Boa called Conformed to His Image. Now, can you see that? Morgan, can you see that okay, or is that too small?
Hey, Ron, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just share the screen.
Okay.
People can see it that way. So give me just 1 second.
Hi, Raquel. I said hi to Brittany, and I didn't see you hiding there.
Okay. Is that showing up okay?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So anyway, Ron, you hit the nail on the head on both of those, on, you know, prayer and fellowship. And, you know, these are listed in these 12 facets of spiritual formation. And so anyway, it's, you know, it's a way to break this down. And we start with relational spirituality. And let's see, I'm looking at the time to see if we need to read through this. I'm going to have Edie read through them. And then...
do you just want me to read the highlighted?
No,
I
just
can't read it all.
Relational spirituality. So this, and basically this is loving God completely, to see ourselves as God sees us, and then to be other-centered. That's relational spirituality. And you really don't have to take notes because you can get this document. So let's just go over. Yeah, Edie, would you read the first one then?
Well, then I'll just read the second one.
Just read the first one. Go ahead.
The whole thing?
Whole thing. Yeah, read the whole thing.
As a communion of three persons, God is a relational being. He originates a personal relationship with us, and our high and holy calling is to respond to his loving initiatives. By loving God completely... Whoops, something just happened and covered it up. Okay. We discover who and whose we are as we come to see ourselves as God sees us. In this way, we become secure enough to become others-centered rather than self-centered. And this enables us to be givers rather than grabbers.
So the first topic that Ken Boa breaks out is, you know, first to love God completely, to see ourselves as God sees us, and then to become other-centered. That's the first one. The second one relates to the seeing the difference between temporal and eternal value system. So Edie's going to read number two, the second one.
This aspect contrasts the radical differences between the temporal and eternal value system and emphasizes the need for a paradigm shift from a cultural to a biblical way of seeing life. Experiencing our mortality can help us transfer our hope from the seen to the unseen and realize the preciousness of present opportunities. Our presuppositions shape our perspective. Our perspective shapes our priorities, and our priorities shape our practice.
So that's the second one. It talks about the difference between temporal and eternal, and that's really important. You know, I know as we have more time now at home, you know, I one of my prayers is, you know, I could really be discerning between the temporal and the eternal. We just don't want to, at least I don't want to get so temporal minded that I neglect the eternal. Okay, the third one are spiritual disciplines. Ron, and prayer would fall in the spiritual discipline. So Edie, you want to read number three about the discipline spirituality?
There has been a resurgence of interest in the classical disciplines of the spiritual life, and this part looks at the benefits of the various spiritual disciplines. It recognizes the need for balance between a radical dependence on God and personal discipline, and considers the dynamic of obedience and application.
Yeah. So anyway, would as you think about these three, I think these, you know, I think these are very important. You know, the first one, the second one, the third one. Now, as we talk about this, another thing I want you to keep in mind is, you know, which one of these do you feel, which one of these facets do you feel like is most attractive to you? That's one of the questions. And maybe which one is least attractive to you? And, you know, there are some questions you can, I want you to be thinking about as we talk about these and think, well, you know, I really like that one, the spiritual disciplines, or I really like that one, the temporal and the eternal. Let's go to the fourth one is exchanged life spirituality. And that's really our identity in Christ, believers' new identity in Christ and our identity in Christ. Would you read that, please, Edie?
The 19th and 20th century saw the growth of an experiential approach to the spiritual life that is based on the believer's new identity in Christ. Identification with Christ in his crucifixion and resurrection, Romans 6 and Colossians 2:20, means that our old life has been exchanged for the life of Christ. This approach to spirituality moves from a works to a grace orientation and from legalism to liberty through truly acknowledging that Christ's life is our life.
Christ's life is our life. Very, very important concept here. Number five is motivated spirituality. And do we move that, Morgan, or?
It should be moved now.
Okay, it is. Yep, we can see that. Okay. Yep, very good. Perfect. Okay, motivated spirituality is just, they're biblical motivators. You know, what motivates us from a scriptural perspective, you know? And Edie's going to read some of those things that included in that.
People are motivated to satisfy their needs for security, significance, and fulfillment, but they turn to the wrong places to have their needs met. This section emphasizes looking to Christ rather than to meet our needs. The study of scripture reveals a number of biblical motivators: fear, love, and gratitude, rewards, identity, purpose, and hope, and longing for God. Our task is to be more motivated by the things God declares to be important than by the things the world says are important.
Okay, biblical motivators from a biblical perspective. Okay, now, and then devotional spirituality ties in a little bit with the first one, because the first one says to see ourselves as, or to love God completely. And this also deals with loving God, but talks about some of his character and some of those things. Would you want to read that for me, please? Then?
What are the keys to loving God, and how can we cultivate a growing intimacy with him? This approach explores what it means to enjoy God and to trust in him. We gradually become conformed to what we most love and admire, and we are most satisfied when we seek God's pleasure above our own.
So we're halfway through. That's loving God. Okay, we have to keep moving for the sake of time. Holistic spirituality is really talking about the lordship of Christ. You know, to have Christ Lord of our life. Read that.
There's a general tendency to treat Christianity as a component of life along with other components, such as family, work, and finances. This compartmentalization fosters a separation between the secular and the spiritual. The alternative is to understand the implications of Christ's lordship in such a way that even the most mundane components of life can become expressions of the life of Christ in us.
Okay. Lordship of Christ, holistic spirituality. Ken Boas is very good with wording these things. Okay. Number eight, this is the eighth one out of 12, is process spirituality, and it's abiding in Christ and practicing his presence. Process spirituality.
In our culture, we increasingly tend to be human doings rather than human beings. The world tells us that what we achieve and accomplish determines who we are, but the scriptures teach us that who we are in Christ should be the basis for what we do. The dynamics of growth are inside out rather than outside in. This aspect considers what it means to be faithful to the process of life rather than living from one product to the next. It also focuses on what it means to abide in Christ and practice his presence.
Okay, that's number 8. Number 9 is spirit-filled spirituality. And that's really the spirit-centered and the spirit-filled life for believers.
Although there are diverse views of spiritual gifts, spiritual-centered believers and world-centered believers agree that until recently, the role of the Holy Spirit has been somewhat neglected as a central dynamic of the spiritual life. This aspect considers how to appropriate the love, wisdom, and power of the Spirit and stresses the biblical implications of the Holy Spirit as a personal presence rather than a mere force.
Okay. That's number 9. 3 more. Warfare spirituality. And it's spiritual warfare is the 10th topic, or the 10th facet.
Okay, spiritual warfare is not optional for believers in Christ. Scripture teaches and illustrates the realities of this warfare on the 3 fronts of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The worldly and demonic systems are external to the believer, but they entice and provide opportunities for the flesh, which is the capacity for sin within the believer. This section develops a biblical strategy for dealing with each of these barriers to spiritual growth.
Okay, thank you. Okay, nurturing spirituality is the 11th, and that is talks about developing discipleship and evangelism.
The believer's highest call in ministry is to reproduce the life of Christ in others. Reproduction takes a form of evangelism for those who do not know Christ and edification for those who do. It is important to develop a philosophy of discipleship and evangelism and views edification and evangelism as a way of life. Lifestyle discipleship and evangelism are the most effective and realistic approaches to unbelievers and believers within our sphere of influence.
Okay. And then the final one is called corporate spirituality, and it's community, church, and things related to that.
We come to faith as individuals, but we grow in community. This facet discusses the need for community, challenges and creators of community. Is that right? The nature and purpose of the church, worship, soul care, servant leadership, accountability, and renewal.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Edie. Well, those are the 12 facets. And, Ron, the 2 that you mentioned were, fit in here. And obviously, this is a list of that covers a lot of ground, and yet, as we start from new believers and to mature believers, these are a lot of the facets of our lives that are important to cover as a believer and to grow as a believer, to mature as a believer. So that is a mouthful, I guarantee you. So that's kind of an overview. That's an overview of the different topics. Any comments?
I'm just going to say, Ron, that as I started my conversion to living for Christ, this gives a much broader view of the depth of what's necessary to convert your being to serving God.
Well, right, yeah, Ron, this is what Ken Boa put together. Now, we could put something else together, but this is what he's put together. We'll use this format and we'll go from there. That's a thank you for that comment, Ron.
Yeah, very, it's very basically good. Like, I think you wrote on that whiteboard, sanctification. It's just sanctifying
topics.
Yeah.
Facets for sanctification.
Yeah.
It's
a very broad,
yes,
overview.
Yes.
Of what we need to consider if we're going to become true believers
as we mature.
Yes.
High five, Ron. You got it.
Hey, Ron. Ron, yes. This is Gail.
Yes.
This is Gail. I'm feeling like I'm a new believer after reading that. I've got some work to do.
Well, yeah. You know what? That's what community is called, Gail. So yeah. You jump in the boat, and we're gonna row together on this. And you know,
it's excellent.
If anybody thinks we've arrived, you know, then we need to go back to the beginning. So
yeah. That's right.
So we're looking forward to this. So I think that's going to end our discussion at this point. And Morgan, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother.
Okay. And so then just to paint just a little bit more of a picture. So the reason we said that this is going to take 3 to 4 years, obviously that's a lot of content there. So maybe that question doesn't need to be answered. But so there is this book, Conform to His Image, is the book that's providing, as Ron said, the roadmap for how we're going to proceed. But I'm anticipating that we're probably going to diverge to take maybe slow down, go into some things in more depth, incorporate various elements from different resources, well, as also as we do consider the various ways that God shapes us and the desire to shape us, we obviously want to incorporate as much firsthand experience and testimony as we can. So this is just the roadmap of the types of things we're planning on going into. And each of these 12 facets will probably have around three or at least three different individual sessions per facet. So 12 times three, and then if we're doing about one a month plus some extra for fleshing out different topics in depth, that's how we suddenly get up to several years. So this is the idea with this discipleship focus is growth over the long haul. Hopefully once we get 3 or 4 years down the road, we'll say, hey, that thing we talked about 36 sessions ago, I think I'm ready to go a little bit more in depth. Or we have a believer who's actually ready to tackle that for the first time. So hopefully this will be something that is self-perpetuating. Any questions about that roadmap?
Well, I'm excited because as you read that and this format, this electronic format, is going to encourage discussion from us because we all feel differently about those are very broad topics, but how do we live that day to day? How do those changes transform us? How do we look at them? How do we address them? And those are all personal questions that I think that we as believers here that are on this, our participation would be vital to that format.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there was ever a time when we want we want content to truly be personal, a couple times ago we talked about that, God's work of conforming us to His image is inherently confrontational, because the Spirit seeks out that in us which is unlike Christ, and through the Spirit and with His grace brings it to us, and the Spirit offers us the grace to be conformed to His image. And so that's a very practical and a very personal thing, which, and so that's why there'll always be time built in for us to truly think about, what does this mean to me? How might God be confronting me with this content? Where has He grown me? And where do I need to be focusing on seeking Him to grow me more? There should definitely be some true response to this. I'm looking forward to it already. I don't think any of us can read through any of those descriptions and say, oh yeah, I've got that one down. I know I can't with any of them. There's some that strike me as being completely alien. There's some that sound familiar, but look forward to plunging more greater depths with. So I'm very excited to be at this launching point.
Amen.
Okay.